You're listening to Nuts Alive from Asteroid G, singing Bye 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 in the car. I'm your host, Mike Lindenstein.
You caught me off guard with that one. I'm gonna go check my multiverse self and see if I can redo this start intro right here.
What's your name?
Mike the Ghoul, everybody, back again.
And we are going to be discussing Deadpool and Wolverine. A podcast we meant to do 3 months ago before we had to take an impromptu break. But now we're here, and we're going to cover the bases because we said we were going to do it. And so there's two halves to this, this discussion. The first half is the movie itself, and the other half is what it actually means for Marvel. And so we'll discuss the first half, which is the fact that the movie was really fucking good.
Amazing.
It was so fun.
I've heard people who made the movie say, like, you know, we want this movie to feel like it was made for the fans. And there was absolutely moments of that movie when I was like, this was made just for me to see that, wasn't it? It really felt that way. They hit it out of the park in a lot of aspects.
Yeah, it's not so much, and I understand why they called it Deadpool and Wolverine, because it's not so much a third Deadpool movie, although it does kind of play to his plot lines from the previous two films, even if mostly it's to keep him in the same place he was and force him to relearn lessons again.
But,
like, it's kind of a sequel to his movies, but it's really more a sequel to the X-Men universe.
Yeah. It kind of ties a bow around
everything.
It really, it brings Deadpool into the Marvel universe, and it brings, you know, the X-Men in, and it kind of ties a big bow around everything while shitting on legacy at the exact same time in the most tasteful of ways.
Deadpool does. Yeah, it's interesting in a way. Like, if you look at it, the timeline for the movie makes no sense, and how Deadpool does anything makes no sense. I mean, he's not a character that has proven himself being multiversal in Fox movies, so how he's able to travel between worlds and just, like, go and talk to the Avengers of their Earth Prime, even though he exists on a different world, they don't explain that, they don't bother, and it's fine.
I guess they try to tie some of Cable's time traveling aspect into that, I guess, by looking at it. But they hope you remember Deadpool 2 then and who Cable was, because they don't explain it in this one.
They don't explain it, and they don't have to explain it. It's fine.
It's fun.
But it also exists after Logan, but not, because Logan took place in the future and this doesn't. Yeah, it's very confusing, and it's a movie where it's like Austin Powers. The second one where he's traveling back in time and he looks at Basil and he goes, Basil, how does any of this work? And then his eyes go cross-eyed. And then Basil's like, just don't think about it and have fun. That's this movie. You just can't really think too hard about it. And you're just supposed to have fun. And that's fine. I appreciate it for what it is. It had a lot of great fun doing things and pairing the two of them together and just letting their natural character chemistry and actor chemistry work. Yeah. And if that's all you went into this movie for was to see crass jokes with two actors you liked playing characters you liked, it nailed it on every front.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it feels like a couple years ago when we got that teaser during the Super Bowl of Ryan Reynolds just kind of sitting on his couch talking about Deadpool and what was maybe coming next. And then he goes, hey, Hugh, you want to come back and play Wolverine? And Hugh Jackman just walking by in, like, a robe eating cereal. Like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, it felt like that was, like, really how it went down.
Well, yeah, because Jackman, huge Ackman. I love saying that every time. He retired the character, and he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Logan was the perfect capper for this. And then he's like, and then I said that, and like 2 weeks later, Deadpool came out. And I'm just sitting there going, shit.
Yeah, I made a mistake. He actually said, I made a mistake.
I really want to play opposite Deadpool now, and I can't. Yeah. So they found They found a way to honor that by not having him play the same Wolverine, which I appreciate. Yeah. But he had to come back for this.
This felt like such a buddy cop movie kind of thing, you know, of two guys that were just, you know, our friends in the real world and doing a really good job with two iconic characters that they play very well.
Yep.
All right. Wolverine, Hugh Jackman was born to play Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Okay. He is that character. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, you know, he is that character. So to have the two of them be friends in real life, doing a movie like this together, it was everything you wanted it to be. Are there plot holes? That's the point. Is there things that make you scratch your head and go, I don't know about that one? Yeah. But is there also some things in there that go, yeah, I came just for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is. And you really, after the way Marvel has kind of like diluted things that they've done over the last several years, we've talked about this.
Shit the bed.
it's a lot of oversaturation. It's a lot of too much. I had high hopes that this would be able to bring me back to, like, that's the way I feel. But even though it didn't feel like a Marvel movie. It felt like a Deadpool movie.
It did.
Well, that's fine.
That's great, but it's weird because you can also feel that Marvel was absolutely hedging their bets.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
Oh yeah, they're like, we're gonna keep him on his own world, so no one questions why Deadpool isn't showing up for anything. And if he's successful, maybe we'll find a way to bring him over occasionally, but we'll also keep him over here because he's R-rated and we don't want people to, like, worry about their kiddies. So
very, like, tactful decision, honestly, on their part. If this bombed because it wasn't going to, it gave him an out.
It did. But it's also this weird thing of that means that despite the fact that he goes and plays with the TVA, and despite the fact that he jokes about, like, certain people and certain characters from the main Marvel universe, he doesn't belong there. So even though it's a Marvel Studios MCU film, it's not, and it's never going to be.
It's never going to fit in the way those movies did in Phase One into, like, this wonderful little puzzle over the period of, like, 10 years or whatever it was. This doesn't fit anywhere like that. Does this fit into that serotonin part of your brain that just makes you feel good about what you saw?
Oh, it does.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But it's like, okay, so he's the one X-Man they're going to keep around. Maybe they keep the variant Wolverine and X-23 hanging out on Deadpool's world, but I don't expect to see them very often. Maybe X-23 more than Wolverine.
Maybe. That was a great little cameo in this, and we'll cover the cameos, but seeing her come back, my God, is that good.
But, I didn't want to get into this. This was completely opposite from this, but how the fuck do her bones work? She's covered in adamantium. My brain cannot accept this.
Yeah.
They coated her in metal as a child, and I'm just sitting there going, they did that to Wolverine when he was an adult. This doesn't feel right.
How is she getting bigger?
How does she grow?
But you know what? Plot, movie
Plottles,
magic.
Plottles. You let it go. You like her. But no, it's a good thing she remained short, because otherwise I'd really struggle with this whole plot.
Speaking of short, when he was going through all of the different variants of Wolverine, and you get the one that looks like short. But then he stands up and he's like 4 feet tall. Like, it is perfect because that is Wolverine. He is that short.
He's the short, hairy, gross dude, and they finally did it. But yeah, no, it's... So, if they introduce the X-Men into the main Marvel Universe, people are going to find it a little weird, because they're going to have a whole crew of Cyclops and Jean Grey and all of them being boring. Until they finally decide to create a new Wolverine. And some people are going to be upset that it's not Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. But they're also going to be upset because if they don't let Deadpool be a part of the X team, what the fuck did they bring Deadpool back for in the first place?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, maybe they get Henry Cavill and we get the Cavilrine again. Because boy, was that a wonderful little Easter egg too.
But he's too big too. Okay, so we need a short, ugly dude for it.
Oh my God.
They need Danny DeVito to just bulk up and be the one.
If Danny DeVito lost 50 pounds, he could play Wolverine.
He'd be a very old, very angry Wolverine.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be good, though? Like, I mean, I watch him on the Jersey Mike's commercials on TVs. And, like, I used to work at a Jersey Mike's, so, like, that holds a special place in my heart to watch him doing commercials for him.
Funny. I want a version of Wolverine that just, like, is angry with claws and bitching about deli the whole day. That'd be great.
Let me get out my bacon-smelling horn. Like...
But okay, so that's one thing. Yeah. I do appreciate that this was a loving tribute to all of the Fox movies and the Blade movies in the process.
Didn't see that coming at all.
He worked with Wesley Snipes, so it was kind of cool that Ryan Reynolds tapped him and let him in. And Wesley Snipes was like, I didn't understand him on the set of Blade Trinity, and I hated that producing that movie, so I just didn't want to. And he's like, but then I was here on set and I finally got it and I appreciate what he's doing.
So he actually said, he's like, I hated him on the set of Blade 3. I thought he was an idiot. I thought he was stupid. I didn't like him. And he comes back here and he's like, yeah, it was just him being him and I get it now.
He's just being Deadpool. He just wasn't Deadpool yet.
Yeah, he just wasn't Deadpool yet. Exactly. Yeah.
So, but I appreciated that the movie took all of those and tied a bow on all of it to be like, here is your finale. Better than Dark Phoenix and the New Mutants.
Yeah, and it gave you a little bit of all of that, like, you know, that serotonin that I was talking about. Again, you get Elektra back, you know, with Jennifer Garner. Wesley Snipes walking in as Blade. X-23 coming in. The deep cut of Channing Tatum as Gambit. Like, oh my God. Like, the movie that never was, that he actually got to participate in. It's so good.
And then you got Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, who we haven't seen in like over two decades. You got the original Sabretooth, the wrestler guy. Like, there were so many people brought back for these that you're like, oh, I remember him. Yes.
Toad was even Toad from the first X-Men. That was the same actor. They had, you know, the Russian from Punisher was there. And, you know, they had all these little things, these little Easter eggs where, like, the eagle-eyed fans were catching. Ant-Man's head, obviously, was where Cassandra was. But, I mean, like, it was so good. It gave you a little bit of everything. And in the beginning of the movie, like, with the whole bye-bye-bye scene with him, you know, dancing as he's pulling... Just shitting all over the Logan legacy.
It was so good.
But it felt right.
It did. I agree. It felt right. So that was good. Now, let's look at this from a different perspective. The good movies...
Suck the joy out of everything.
That's my job. I'm a critic. I agree with you. The movie was great. Now let's suck the marrow of enjoyment out of it and go some different direction, okay?
Let's talk about the parts where there are some fair criticisms.
Okay, so... Marvel has now pulled this trick essentially three times.
Yeah.
We had Avengers, where everyone got together and got to have a party and defeat Thanos. It was great. It was a series finale. Thank you. I appreciate it. Then they're like, hey, let's tie a bow on all the Sony Spider-Man movies. And so we got all three Spider-Men and all the, most of their major villains back. No one wanted Green Goblin 2. Fuck that guy. No one wanted their villain back or their Venom back. Fuck that guy. But, like, we got most of their good villains. We got to have great moments with all the Spider-Men. We got to give, like, Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man a moment of saving a Mary Jane. So he can have that emotional release. Like, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
That was the second time. Now, for the third time, they've produced a movie that... plays on the nostalgia and the love we have for a bunch of characters to give them a finale.
Right.
They don't have a lot of these things left in their stable, for one, and two, at a certain point, it's gonna get tired. So,
It is.
I appreciate this one. They did a great job. They made a $1.3 billion R-rated movie, which is abso-fucking-lutely astounding.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
It shows the power of Deadpool and the Marvel brand and everything. They don't get to pull this trick again.
No. You're right. And this is a good length movie too. I'm just looking at 128 minutes. It's a little long.
But for everything they had to do, I'm forgiving it.
But it's crisp. It's a good 128 minutes, you know?
It doesn't feel the plus two hours, no.
Yeah. And could this have been, you know, 2 hours and 30 minutes? I mean, I wouldn't have mind watching it for that long, but it was a good length to tie things together. Gave you a lot of little things. To your point about fool me once, shame on me. You fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, okay, I'll give you that one.
But the fourth time.
I don't see where they could do this again. Maybe there's something they could do with Loki and Thor. But, I mean, it's going to get old. It's going to get old.
They don't have enough in their stable for it, even with all the other properties they've bought. They don't have enough fan reaction at this point. Like, think about it this way. If they'd done this Deadpool movie before the Spider-Man, would it have made more money?
I don't know. I have to really think about that one. I'm curious, too. Maybe Deadpool... I mean, if they did, it would have been closer to the hype of, like, you know, that first Deadpool. And, and the hype was still obviously tremendously real around this one. But that first Deadpool was such a change to superhero movies. Mm-hmm. Like, if that came out within 5 years of it, then maybe.
I mean, there is a crossover I could think of them doing that would be interesting. And I've mentioned this on the podcast once or twice before, but let's go over it again. Mm-hmm. There is an issue, or maybe even a couple of issues, of Spider-Man, where Deadpool is sucked back in time, and they literally just draw him over the top of Peter Parker in all of his Spider-Man scenes. And he goes on a Spider-Man adventure as Deadpool. And now, I'm not saying they could pull this off, But the one movie I would see as a big, dumb crossover is them taking the old Sony movies and re-editing them into one long Deadpool adventure.
Oh, and what if you bring in Tom Hardy as an actual Venom in this one, too?
You could do for that, like, to redo shots of the third movie and do different people in it and so forth. Like, it would be interesting. I don't know that it would work. I think it'd be a fucking mess, but I would watch the hell out of that.
I would watch the hell out of that train wreck. Yeah, if you're telling me you're getting... I mean, realistically, like, if you tell me you get Tom Hardy as Venom in a Marvel movie, I'm gonna go watch it. Yeah. I'm gonna go... I like Tom Hardy even as Venom. The movie's great... Are the movies great? Nah.
No.
Are they fun movies? Yeah. Are they as fun as Deadpool? Nah.
No.
They're a buddy movie of Tom Hardy talking to himself. And I can watch that for 2 hours and be entertained.
Yeah. So, but for the most part, Marvel's done this trick enough times, they can't do it again. And it speaks to Marvel's bigger problem of everything that they've built at this point that is working plays on nostalgia.
Yeah.
And everything that's failing is them trying to build up their new stuff and kind of rushing it and not really understanding even what they did because they're too high on their own supply.
That's a good point, because like and we've talked about this before, sure. Mm-hmm. I don't have the attachment to the Marvels the way I do to Iron Man. I don't have the attachment to, you know, the Elementals or whatever, Eternals, thank you, that I never got to see.
Fine.
The way that I have a tie toward, you know, Chris Evans as Captain America.
Yeah.
It's too much too soon, and it's a real deep cut,
mm-hmm.
you know, for fan base. You're going to hit a lot of people, but you're not going to hit as many as you hit on the other end. You're just not.
I was thinking on this last week when I wrote an article about it, and my brain has been fleshing out more since then. Mm-hmm. But it's this thing of Marvel has their TV shows. And I just finished watching Agatha All Along, which is mid. It's not bad, but it's mid.
Okay.
I really love Catherine Hahn in that role, and I will watch her in anything because she's fucking fabulous. But that show just doesn't live up to anything. And it's this thing of people are like, Marvel has diluted the brand too much, which is true. And they've produced too much content, which is also true. And they don't really know what they're doing with TV or with movies or anything now, which is also a fair critique.
Yeah,
and
I would
then they're
say
like,
so.
we're going to take a year off and we're going to recalibrate and we're going to do something new. And when we come back, it's going to be great stories. And they started with Deadpool and Wolverine, which aces. And mm-hmm. then they do Agatha All Along and boo. And I'm like, it's this thing of you didn't really recalibrate. You haven't learned your lesson. And the lesson was, yes, during COVID, you needed to produce things for COVID that would get mm-hmm. people watching. WandaVision was fucking fantastic, even if it kind of failed on its ending a little. It was so weird and strange that mm-hmm. you didn't mind the fact that it was a TV show because it played to the strengths of the TV show. Most of what they've produced has been overlong miniseries that should have just been movies, or in the case of Secret Invasion, not made at all.
Right.
That thing is trash. But it's if they had stuck to doing 3 to 4 projects a year and had just done miniseries we actually wanted to watch, or took the ones that were just overlong movies and made them as short movies, I don't think they'd be in the place they're in right now. That, or they just needed to embrace the weird and do a lot of really fucked up shit like WandaVision. The only thing that comes close is What If, which I love the hell out of, but mm-hmm. most things don't live up to the hype.
A lot of What If felt like a lot of fan theory almost, uh-huh. too, and a lot of like, you know, you would get this in your wildest dreams kind of thing. And again, here we are playing off the nostalgia, and it works.
Yeah.
To a point.
Nostalgia play. But it's interesting because they're bite-sized. So even though they're a nostalgia play and they're like they play on that same endorphin rush, they also only last 20 minutes and then you're over with and you're like, well, that was fun. So you just kind of
easily digestible.
Yeah, easily digestible. And you don't actually have to treat them like homework, because nothing that happens in them, for the most part, unless they decide to bring Captain Carter out into a live action movie, which I would also watch the fuck out of. oh my god, bring me my Captain Carter movie. But mm-hmm. outside of that, you don't have to, like, watch them to keep up with the MCU. You could go off and watch 2 or 3 of them at a time, and then go watch a movie and not stress about whether or not it is, and then come back to them later and watch some more, if mm-hmm. you want it. And if you don't keep up with them, who gives a fuck, because they don't affect anything.
Yeah, I mean, I still haven't watched the most recent Thor movie. Like, that's how much I've been oversaturated with Marvel.
See?
And Thor. And like, I never went. I didn't go see the first Iron Man in the theater because
That was great.
I to this day I hate it because like I had thought to myself at the time, we're going back 15 years almost, if not more at this point, that superhero movies kind of suck. And you know, I'm not going to spend my money. I'll watch it when it comes, you know, on the HBO or something.
Yeah.
And they got it right.
Yeah,
with Iron Man with for Iron the Man. First time ever. You know, Fantastic Four was fine back in the day, and there were some movies here and there that were fine. Iron Man was the game changer for what comic book movies could be and what they've become since. And we've kind of gotten back to like that point where like
it's mid.
You know, it's mid.
I don't see most of them. I don't definitely don't see all the Sony stuff that they're producing without Spider-Man in them.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily feel the need to go see every Marvel movie when they come out. Some of the ones that I like that other fans skip, like I actually kind of like Marvels, although I understand that most people didn't want to bother with the homework of having to watch WandaVision and Ms. Marvel just and then
to understand what's going on.
And if they didn't like Captain Marvel in her previous movie, they're not going to show up for the second one, which is fair because I didn't like her either.
Yeah.
But like, it was homework. But I keep up with the homework because I run this fucking website. So like, I'm already on top of it. But like, right. I'm not your average person, and if I didn't have to write for this website, I wouldn't see all this shit in theaters, and I would skip half their miniseries as well, because they're ass.
Yeah,
I didn't need to see Agatha all along. I like Catherine Hahn, but by the end of it, nothing happened, and I didn't care, and I know she's not going to show up in a movie, so why am I watching this?
And isn't that kind of the point? Like, at the end of the day, nothing happens.
No.
Nothing changed. We don't have a Thanos out there that we've been building to for 10 years.
No.
Nothing matters. Nothing changes. You know?
Blame Kang for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. We're going to get to a point, and then I think we'll do this point, and then we'll wrap up. This is not going to end up in the podcast. Hold on. So, if we're looking at it, and what has actually mattered as far as, like, the TV shows, WandaVision didn't really matter. Because most of what happened in her movie was summarized in Doctor Strange, and then she was killed off. I love WandaVision. It didn't matter. Falcon and Winter Soldier was basically Sam putting up the shield because he didn't feel he needed to be Captain America, only to then take the shield because he really realized he needed to be Captain America. So it just was basically wasting 8 hours of our time to get him right back where he was so they could do the fourth movie.
Again, could have just been a small movie.
Yeah, Loki is fun. Loki's never going to show up in the multiverse again, so it didn't accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
What If is absolutely outside of everything, so it didn't matter. We're, like, we saw the second Hawkeye, the Lady Hawkeye, show up at the end of the Marvels, but that bombed so hard, I'm not sure we're ever going to see her again, so Hawkeye doesn't matter. Like, you go down the list, Moon Knight's not going to matter, Ms. Marvel got into the Marvels, but again, that movie bombed, so that plan didn't work. She-Hulk's not getting a second season. Like, you go down the list and you're sitting there going, how much of what they've produced on Disney Plus actually matters? And not Secret Invasion, because they ignored that in the Marvels, and not the second season of Loki, not the season of Echo. And it's just like, oh my god, they're producing hours and hours and hours of fucking content, and none of it matters. And it feels like there's this whole thing about, I'm sorry, I keep talking over you, but...
No, keep going.
Okay. There's this whole thing about don't treat television and movies like content. Treat it like things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the Disney Plus stuff, it's fucking content. It don't matter.
And it's gone from Marvel printing money to almost Marvel burning money. Right? Like, if you just rattled off a dozen, maybe, or so, shows and things that have happened in the last 4 years, give or take.
Yeah.
When we got 20 over the course of 10.
Oh yeah.
The first time around. You're too much.
Oh, way too much. Yeah, like you look at this is something that has been pointed out before elsewhere. It's not a statistic that I'm pointing out, but I've also realized it as well, and I pointed it out too. It's the simple fact of in the course of 10 years, they made 22 movies. And that's great. That's awesome. They did a great job. Everyone loved them. That was all their content. In just Phase 4 alone, across looking at it right now, because I number all of them so I can see how much has been produced, WandaVision was MCU 24, and Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special was MCU 40. In just those 14 specials, 16 specials, they produced more hours of content than all of the first three phases.
And none of it is better.
No.
None of it's better.
Spider-Man No Way Home is great. And WandaVision was watchable.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the Guardians, the two Guardians of the Galaxy things. Deadpool come in Phase 5. So, like, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special was good for what it was. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was great as a capping to that. And, oh, of course, you know, that's also the other major thing that made money was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and Nostalgia Bait, because it was the finale for them. So, yeah. But you're right. Like, I like Deadpool and Wolverine. It's a standout, but it's, like, one of two things during the whole Phase 5 of another 11 works that I actually care about.
I mean, like, I guess I like what it boils down to is, you know, in the way things are nowadays, with the consume the content that you feel is going to give you the most bang for your buck, I guess, as a consumer, because clearly you can't count on the Marvel product being a consistency anymore.
No.
You'll get them great nuggets of Deadpool. You get those good little shows of WandaVision, like you said, and you know, these other little like nuggets that plays on that serotonin in your brain, but it's not going to be what it was. And they can only play off the nostalgia for so long until it grows stale.
So Deadpool and Wolverine is great, and I love it for what it is. And I'm sure Marvel, across Phase 6, is going to produce two or three things I care about and a bunch of stuff I don't.
Type 90!
Yeah, they're gonna keep going forever. Rick and Morty 100 years, okay?
Yeah.
Like, until the company goes bankrupt, they're going to try and milk the Marvel machine for all it's worth. Maybe they produce some good stuff. Maybe Fantastic Four First Flight is good. Maybe they actually finally make a fucking Blade movie and I can stop hoping and praying and wishing for that to happen.
Didn't they have Mahershala Ali close to doing that? Like,
they haven't signed up for it, but they keep fucking around with director and script. And it's, I think it's because everyone wants to make an R-rated Blade movie, but the only R-rated movie they trusted was Deadpool and Wolverine, and they're getting cold feet over everything else.
But the first Blade movie was rated R anyway. Just do something like that. Like, why is it so hard to figure out?
I don't fucking know. Anyway, Phase 4, Phase 6, I'm sure, is going to be an abomination, aside from one or two things that we care about. But it's just so hard to give a shit about the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe anymore. I like Deadpool. Deadpool was great. I will watch that movie again. I have a copy of it coming to me from Amazon right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And if they make another Deadpool movie, I'm on board. If they make another Wolverine movie, I'm on board. Give X-23 a movie, I'm on board. None of them need to be tied to the MCU for me to care.
No, and I think that's, like, to your point right there. You're going to selectively choose what you feel is going to be the best.
I don't care.
You're going to watch it all. But my point is, like, you're naming things that, like, you're cherry-picking the best parts. And maybe that's just what we need to do overall as consumers nowadays instead of just feeding the machine, because they're just going to keep plugging out subpar content while people consume it.
Yep. Nope, I agree. And that's the only way to get Marvel to stop making everything that we don't give a shit about is to only watch the stuff we do care about.
Yeah.
One day they might actually learn.
Unlikely, but you know what? Anything can happen.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, ripping out those adamantium claws. I'm Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm just your buddy, Mike the Ghoul. I'm just gonna use it going bye, bye, bye.
We will see you all next time.